AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, right now we're speaking with Max Richman of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare to talk about a topic that just will not go away, unfortunately, and that is a payroll tax cut. Max, thanks so much for joining us on the show today to talk about this.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this thing is like out of a bad zombie movie. This thing will keep coming back and back and back after it looks like we've finally gotten rid of this idea of cutting a payroll tax cut. But yet again, we've seen this brought up by the Trump administration, this time trying to make a permanent cut to the payroll tax. So can you talk about, are special interests really this dead set on cutting the payroll tax cut? It seems like we talk about this every few weeks, yet this topic still keeps coming up.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just keeps, as you say, keeps coming back and back. I don't really understand why the president doesn't appreciate the way the Social Security program works, and it seems determined to go over and over this issue every couple of weeks. I know maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago he talked about the payroll tax cut. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was just last week, he said that he'd even like to make the payroll tax cut permanent. Well, Social Security is funded by the payroll tax. And if the revenue goes away, the program is in jeopardy. You know, I watched the presidential primary debates in 2016. There were 17, I watched, I think, all of them. There were 17 candidates running for the Republican nomination, and there was one who said time and again, I won't touch Social Security and Medicare, said it repeatedly. And yet here we see once again the president talking about cutting the payroll tax. That is not consistent with not touching the Social Security program. The president either fails to understand or doesn't care about the fact that workers and employers contribute the FICA tax that funds the Social Security program. We know from the trustees that make a report every spring, the program is going to run out of money to pay full benefits. It won't be bankrupt, but there will be a shortfall of about 20% in 15 years. If less revenue comes into the program, that date is going to be moved up much closer to the present. And on top of all of this, with this enormous unemployment we're seeing, there are fewer people paying payroll tax. That in and of itself should be a concern. We should be talking, and the president should be talking, about protecting Social Security by bringing more revenue into the program, not starving the program of the revenue it needs to function, to pay retirees, to pay disabled, to pay survivors, to pay children. Millions of children get by in life because Social Security is there for them. So, you know, if the revenue flow is decreased, and that is aggravated by cutting the payroll tax, we're going to have a serious problem not too far into the future.
So as the administration proposed making this payroll tax cut permanent, and you were alluding to this, well, that's how the program is funded. So essentially that would eliminate the program. He didn't talk about, or others in an administration talk about, another way or alternatives to funding the program if the payroll tax is permanent, correct?
That's correct, and you know, this is probably one of the most insidious ways of getting rid of Social Security. There are plenty of people that have been opponents of Social Security for a long time, whether it's cutting the benefits, cutting the cost of living adjustment, privatizing. You remember that, President Bush, the day after he was elected, we were sitting in our boardroom, the staff, at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. He came to the podium. First thing out of his mouth was, I've earned political capital in my reelection, and I'm going to use it to privatize Social Security. And he did try, but he did not succeed. And this is, I think, another effort to starve the program of the revenue it needs to provide benefits. And it's just the opposite of what we should be doing. And keep in mind, the last stimulus bill that passed already has in it a provision where employers can defer their contribution, contribution to the FICA tax, Social Security program, for the rest of this year and pay half of it back next year and the other half the following year. Now, is that going to happen, or are we going to, that's a scary proposition in itself. Are we going to get to the point where those people who have ignored the huge deficit that the Trump administration created in increasing that deficit in the tax cut of about a year and a half ago, all of a sudden are they going to say, well, you know, we can't raise taxes. We're going to make sure that these employers don't follow through on the law that exists now and have to repay the payroll tax that's been deferred. So there are so many variables that are in play. The last thing that we need right now is for the president to be talking about a payroll tax cut and making it permanent. That doesn't make any sense, and I hope some of his advisors who have a better grasp on the way this program works and why it's so important to so many people will get him to stop talking about it and stop generating interest in it.
And going back to what you were talking about, this provision that was put in the recent stimulus bill, this is what has me concerned, because naturally when you would look at the House of Representatives, you would think, well, there's probably not much of an appetite there to phase out the Social Security program. But then we see that provision put in that stimulus bill, which certainly would have me worried, because on the surface, at least, it would seem like members of Congress are probably not real excited about the idea of cutting Social Security or completely eliminating a program. But then you look at some of these Trojan horses that are put in these bills. So are you still optimistic that members of Congress will remain firm and not make any further cuts to the payroll tax? Or are you a little more pessimistic, being what we just saw?
Well,
there are
some key members of Congress in positions where they can have a lot of influence on the future of Social Security. Congressman John Larson of Connecticut, a strong proponent of not only protecting but improving Social Security. He's the chairman of the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Social Security and the chairman of the full committee. Congressman Richie Neal of Massachusetts is a strong champion for Social Security. So I'm hoping that they won't follow the president's suggestion. I'm sorry that in the last stimulus bill, which was supported by Democrats as well as Republicans, this payroll tax deferral for the rest of this year on the part of employers was included. We opposed it. We opposed the same kind of cut to Social Security, a smaller cut, but temporary when President Obama pushed it, a Democrat, when we were in the recession after the 2008 election. But it seems like, the idea of payroll tax holiday or paying the payroll, making a cut in the payroll tax permanent is something that some Democrats have supported. I guess I would say cutting the payroll tax is a bad idea, and it's a bad idea that it's not just Republicans have a monopoly on this bad idea, some Democrats as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, you are most definitely correct about this. I want to talk about another aspect here, Max, that you were writing about again over at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. And you were talking about how even if we did implement this payroll tax cut, it would still actually take time to implement and for people to potentially benefit from it. Now, as we've mentioned several times on those shows, those benefits are very questionable as to whether people would even benefit from a Social Security tax. But just And if we take the scenario and let's say we do cut the payroll tax, it would still actually take a while to implement before people would even feel the effects of this cut in terms of getting more money in their checkbooks, right?
Yeah, well, this is not the best way to provide an economic stimulus.
Right.
for example, excuse me, the payroll tax cut, it's not going to do anything for people that are laid off or furloughed or otherwise unemployed because they're not paying payroll taxes. So a payroll tax cut isn't going to do a thing for them. It's not going to do very much for contract workers or what's called the gig economy because they don't pay it. They don't pay it for the most part as it is. So this is, you know, this is. You mentioned the Trojan horse. I'm concerned that this is a Trojan horse, an effort to undermine the program when we should be doing just the opposite. Thankfully, there are members of Congress who are going to try in the next stimulus to increase the monthly benefit of Social Security as well as for veterans and supplemental security income beneficiaries through the end of next year. I know Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren, and Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, the ranking Democrat on the Finance Committee, are going to be pushing a $250 monthly benefit through the end of 2021 for Social Security benefits. And I mentioned John Larson of Connecticut, the chairman of the Social Security Subcommittee of Ways and Means in the House. He's been promoting legislation to strengthen Social Security for a couple of years now, and I'm hoping that he will include in the next stimulus bill some improvements for widowers' benefits and make an adjustment in the threshold for the minimum benefit, which is so low, and it would increase the minimum benefit by about $70 a month. That may not seem like a lot, but if you're living on Social Security mostly or entirely, that is an awful lot. So, you know, we need, as I said at the outset of the interview, we need to improve the program, not jeopardize it in a way that is going to ultimately lead to the demise of the program.
And ultimately, can you go through some more details in terms of some of the ideas you guys have over at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare? And I know you were alluding to this as well, some of the ideas members of Congress have to improve the program, talking about the funding mechanism, because the talking point
well,
we often hear
is... Well, one thing that I think is often overlooked in the discussion about Social Security, the program needs additional revenue to operate. The agency is going to have to cope with a lot of increased cases, expected survivors benefit applications. We have advocated adding $400 million to the Social Security operating budget to handle all of the claimants' concerns and requests. You know, there's an 800 number for Social Security. And if you're willing to wait on hold forever, you might talk to somebody and get some help. But the resources just aren't there to handle the increased work that the Social Security program is going to be facing. And this next stimulus bill, I think, should include improvements to the program along the lines that I mentioned, increasing the minimum benefit, adding a set amount for the rest of this year and maybe next year, and raising the administrative budget of the Social Security program. We've sent letters to the House and the Senate endorsing these proposals. I'm hoping they'll make it through when the Congress, I understand they're reconvening May 4th, and maybe that's when they'll take up the next stimulus proposal.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Max Richmond of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. You can find more information about them at ncpssm.org. That's ncpssm.org. And Max, as much as I like chatting with you, I'm hoping this is the last time we'll at least be chatting about this topic of cutting Social Security.
Well, you know, Brett, I'm afraid it won't be the last time because, as we said at the beginning, some bad ideas never die. And I'm afraid that this topic is going to be something we're going to have to talk about. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to reach your listeners so they're aware of the issues that are so important to Social Security, to the beneficiaries, whether they're retirees or disabled or children or survivors. It's an important program for so many families.
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, I think you're right, where even if we have a change in the administration, we're probably still going to see this idea pushed through, as we've even seen from previous presidents as well. So hopefully we're both wrong about that, but I got a feeling, Max, you're probably going to be right that we are going to continue having this conversation.
Well, thank you again. I'm always a pleasure to be on the program with you.